Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Brian, thank you very much for that. Well, as I was saying, the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi is in Ireland today against a backdrop of rising geopolitical tensions and fears of a looming trade war. Several major Chinese tech and shopping brands have headquarters here, including TikTok, Temu and Shein. China has also become a leading exporter of electric cars, wind turbines and solar panels. To tell us more about what both sides will be looking for from today's meeting, we're joined by China correspondent with the Irish Times, Dennis Staunton. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
Why little old Ireland when there are so many bigger EU economies that he could be visiting?
It's a good question, and it's particularly good since he's the second high-ranking Chinese official to come to Ireland in just over a year, because at the beginning of last year, you had Li Qiang, the premier, who came over, and now Wang Yi is there. I think the reason is that that China regards Ireland as a relatively friendly country within the spectrum of European Union countries, even though Ireland did vote in favour of increasing tariffs on electric vehicles, which China didn't welcome. But nonetheless, Ireland is regarded as being a country that's in favour of free trade. And so what they're hoping for is that as a voice at the table in the European Union, when issues come up, like how should the European Union organise its trade relationship with China, that Ireland would be a voice that would say, let's trade as freely as we can.
So it's more about politics than the actual balance of trade between Ireland and China. Are they hoping, incidentally, though, to boost import exports between Ireland and China?
I think in a funny way, the fact that Ireland is one of the very few countries that enjoys a trade surplus with China. In other words, we sell more to China than China sells to us. That's almost the opposite in every other case in Europe. And so I think in some ways it's actually quite useful, because it's a relatively small amount of money where China is concerned, quite a lot for us.
I think the surplus is of the order of 5 billion.
Is at least a way of China saying that it's not inevitable that that everybody does badly out of this relationship.
Might it also be perhaps because we're seen as a little bit of a soft touch when it comes to tech regulation?
Well, certainly the fact that these tech giants that you mentioned have made Dublin their headquarters, it means that the Irish tech regulator is of interest to China, and the whole question, in the big geopolitical contest between China and the United States, the US has been trying to limit China's access to cutting-edge technologies. China has been investing hugely in these high-tech sectors itself, and so whether Ireland is a soft touch or not, I leave to others to judge. But certainly, Irish tech regulation is important because of the position that Ireland has within the European Union.
So, are those tech firms here, those Chinese tech firms here, for broadly speaking, the same reason that we've managed to attract so many US tech firms?
Yes. And in fact, when some of these were talking about coming over, like in the last couple of years, a number of people in Ireland were saying we should be very careful about allowing these people to come and make their headquarters in Dublin because the Americans might be upset. But actually now that Trump is in office and the world is going the way it is, it probably was quite a good idea in a way to diversify. And so in a way, what you're seeing is that these big companies, they're doing exactly what the American companies did, and using Ireland as a base for all of the reasons, including tax.
Can I talk to you about the car industry? Because if you were serious about trying to tackle the climate crisis, the fact that the Chinese are able to manufacture and retail electric vehicles at the order of 13,000, 14,000 euro for a new car would be something that you would think we would embrace with all with open arms. But no, we're applying protectionist tariffs here at a fairly punitive rate.
Yeah, so that certainly is what the Chinese would say. What the European Union would say is that we can't allow China to come in and just completely take over the electric vehicle market in Europe and drive out all European competitors, because that would be basically what's happened. You know, if you go back, 20 years or so, the first China shock, what happened was the Chinese manufacturing basically wiped out whole areas of manufacturing in the US and in Western Europe. And so the Europeans are very worried about this. And I think what they're going to try to do is to work out some compromise where maybe the Chinese electric vehicles are not quite as cheap or not quite as inexpensive as they are for European consumers, or also that they build more plants in Europe and manufacture them there, which, if you remember, is what the Japanese did with Nissan and Honda and all these people who were also in a previous age eating the European car makers' lunch, and then they just set up over there.
Because it's not just in electric vehicles, it's in solar panels and it's in wind turbines as well that the Chinese are stealing a march on all European manufacturers. Do you think that there might be similar invitations to set up your wind turbine and your solar panel operations here?
I think that's already gone. I think basically the Chinese have just taken over the entire market, more or less, of solar panels, for example. I mean, it's just, there's almost nowhere else. You know, they just can do these, so well and at such a scale and at such a price that nobody else can compete with them. And that's, I mean, one of the advantages for Chinese manufacturers is that they have the biggest market in the world, and they also have the biggest industrial manufacturing base. And in between that, they have the internet, because most shopping here is online, and they're getting all this real-time information from consumers. And they've also got this sort of cutthroat competition. Although, the state supports a lot of the industries at an early stage in terms of industrial policy, there's cutthroat competition. So there's about 90 or 90-something electric vehicle companies here, most of which are going to go out of business, but they drive price downwards. And then you export all of that to somewhere like Europe or America. Nobody can compete with that.
Of course, what is going on in the world right now is that what has happened in Ukraine is seen as potentially giving the Chinese a green light to invade Taiwan. Does this burgeoning relationship between Ireland and China give us any kind of leverage or any kind of greater access to them in counselling or advising against actions like that? Or is that just fanciful nonsense?
No, it's certainly true. For example, that when the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, when he was Taoiseach then, Minister of Foreign Affairs, and he came to China last time in November 23, he met Wang Yi, and he did raise various, for example, human rights issues as well as Taiwan. And actually, the Chinese used to be quite sort of shirty and not wanting to hear what anybody had to say about this. Now they feel as if they have the answer, and so they're happy to kind of keep going on and have a whole kind of long, lengthy discussion. I think that, as far as the Chinese are concerned, they insist that everybody should accept the so-called One China policy, which is that China is the country that represents, Beijing represents China at the United Nations, and almost nobody in the world recognizes Taiwan as a sovereign entity, and that they don't want any change to that. And nobody really in Europe or the United States is very close to making any change in that status quo. What worries everybody else, of course, is that what is China's intention? Does China actually want to somehow put so much pressure, either through a military invasion or other kinds of coercion, to try to to force the reunification of Taiwan with the mainland China? And for now, I think that's probably unlikely, because they've got other things to worry about in terms of the economy. But it's certainly something that's it is an aspiration. It's a bit like Ireland's aspiration to national reunification, and it's a question of just how hot it gets and how urgent it is at any given time.
As I mentioned, there's another big Chinese company headquartered here, the fast fashion giant Shein. As we read in your own paper today about overflowing clothes banks as the market for cast-offs collapses, is the EU going to be getting tougher on companies like Shein and their sourcing policies? And how would that be viewed in Beijing?
Well, I think they tend to in Beijing they tend to try to defend all of their companies. I think actually in a way for a lot of these companies like Shein, one of the issues is that one of the reasons they're so competitive is that they can send all of this stuff over in tiny parcels, and the costs and customs things are really very simple and straightforward for them. And if it would really be a change in regulations on I think very small parcels and small packages, that would actually change things more even than anything about sourcing. The sourcing thing is kind of difficult because it's like if you don't source it in China, you're going to source it somewhere else, probably in this part of the world where standards might not be any higher than they are here. So so I think the problem is if you want cheap, fast fashion, then the cost is going to be borne by the environment.
Dennis, final big picture question. The dividing calculus in Irish politics for so many years was Boston or Berlin. In this new multipolar world that you're describing, might it be Boston or Berlin or Beijing?
Yes, and I think that rather like Boston and Berlin, after all that talk we had many years ago about that, we all, I think, decided that we didn't have to decide between these two. And I think it's probably the case as well. Certainly from the Chinese point of view, they never demand that anybody should make them their only friend. And so they never would say, turn your back on America and make us your ally. They would just like everybody to be, so those who are hostile, they'd like to be neutral. Those that are neutral, they'd like to be friendly. And so they would be reasonably happy if everybody kind of, for example, and most of their neighbors here, for example, they have a security relationship with the United States, but China is the biggest economic partner. So I think we are probably entering into a world where, it's probably in the interests of the European Union generally, and Ireland in particular, to keep options open. And in a way that maybe a year or so ago, it seemed like a good idea to some people just to put your lot in with the United States in this kind of battle between democracies and autocracies. That whole idea of the dividing line between democracy and autocracy, which was always a little bit ropey as a concept, it looks extremely implausible right now when you look at the White House.
Dennis Staunton, Beijing correspondent for the Irish Times, thank you very much for joining us this morning. After the break, Starman and Heroes. David Brophy will be here to talk to us through bringing David Bowie to the stage with the RTE Concert Orchestra.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.